My message tonight is entitled By Faith. And first of all, I want to give two disclaimers. I haven't arrived, and I'm not an expert in this field. And if you don't like something I'm saying, please don't call Fratele Gogo or Fratele Duhora. Go home, pray, and let the Holy Spirit tell you if I was right or wrong, okay? Amen. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews 11, 1 through 4, it says, now faith is being, I want to read what the scripture says about faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. By faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. So what is faith? In this chapter that we're going to be studying the next couple weeks, Hebrews 11, by faith, prin credință, is mentioned 21 times. I wanted to read to you what Webster Dictionary describes or offers as faith. It says, belief and trust in a loyalty to God, belief in a traditional doctrines of a religion, a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, a complete trust, something that is believed especially with strong convictions, and a system of religious beliefs. I'm sure all of us have faith, and the way I can prove it is 100% of us, when we left Romania, we got on an airplane and we flew here. Most of us had no idea that that plane is going to go where it said it would. It took faith. We have faith in our cars. I work with cars, and many times there's an order. It's park, reverse, neutral, drive. If you mess that up, you don't think when you get in your car, oh, is this going to go forward? I had the experience of having it reversed. There are some old cars that it goes park, neutral, reverse, and then drive. And you normally do what you normally do, put it in that order that you're normally used to, and you're looking forward and you're going back. But most of the time, we use faith on a daily basis in everything that is made by humans. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about a faith like a Buddhist faith, or when you say I'm of a Christian faith or Mormon faith. No, that's not what I'm trying to describe. I'm talking about a faith that God requires of us, the kind of faith that in the scriptures of Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What kind of faith is this? What kind of faith does God require that it says it is impossible to please him without it? Well, let's look at the scripture back, and let's look at Abel and what kind of offering was it that it was better than Cain. In Genesis 4 and 4, Abel, it says, but Abel, by faith, brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. I'm reading out an NIV, so if that English doesn't match, I'm reading NIV. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Another translation, the Amplified Version, same scripture, Genesis 4, says, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions, and the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering. Two things that I want to talk to you about what kind of faith is. First, the kind of faith that God requires and is pleased with takes action. What do I mean by that? Well, when Abel sacrificed, he took action by building an altar and brought an animal sacrifice. It says he brought fat portions of his flock. So first, he had to do something. Action requires, faith requires actions. And in James 2:11, in NIV translation, it says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Some, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Right there it says, faith without works or faith without deeds, without action, is dead. In James 2, 26, same NIV translation, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without deeds is dead. So when we say we have faith, we prove it by our actions. When we say, my wife has a little motto, it says, words are words, actions speak louder than words. Prove to me by your actions what you mean, because you say, I keep saying sometimes for certain small things, I'm sorry. And she says, you know what? Prove it by actions, by words, by your actions, what you mean with your words. So is with our faith. When we say we have faith in the Lord, but we don't tithe. It's really quiet. Do we believe the same scripture that we use that says, thus says the Lord, I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. It's easy to take that because that affects us positively. It doesn't take sacrifice. It takes sacrifice on his side. But what about us when he says, give your first to me, to the house of the Lord, so there will be plenty there to feed? If you look at Abel, what did he do? Let's look back and see. He took the fat portions. If I can put it in English, you know, verbiage, he pretty much gave filet mignon, the fat portions. Because if you look at a steak, when it has a little fat, it's what makes it taste good after it's cooked. So he gave good portions of the meat he sacrificed. Plus, he took the firstborn of his flock. So the second kind of faith, part of the faith that it requires, second thing that faith requires, it says, the kind of faith that God is pleased with requires us to bring our best, to bring it with the sacrifice. If it doesn't cost me anything, if I don't feel it, what sacrifice is there? It costed Abel the best of his flock, and the best, not of the flock, but the best part of the meat of his first of his flock. In Genesis 4:4, the second part, Abel, for his sacrifice, bought fat portions from some of his firstborn. Now let's look at the other side of faith and what happened. We know that Abel had another brother, Cain. And in my understanding, we can look at Abel and look at faith, and we look at Cain and we can look without faith. So in Genesis 3 and 4, I'm going to use a couple of scriptures out of Genesis. Genesis 3 and 4, in the NIV translation, says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Can you put the scripture back up? Genesis, yes. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God. It doesn't say he brought the first fruits of the soil, nor did he brought his best. Did you catch that? There's the difference between Abel and Cain. In Genesis 4 and 5, please pay attention to this next scripture, what happens to a person when somebody sees somebody that's blessed because they're faithful. This is what happens when you don't. Genesis 4 and 5, but on Cain and his offering, he, talks about the Lord, did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. You know what happens to you when God says, bring my tithing, and somebody does, and they're blessed? This is what happens to Cain, because his brother sacrificed, brought the best of the Lord, and the Lord looked with favor upon Abel. And I don't know why. Maybe one day I'll ask God, why did he not receive Cain offering the same way? Genesis 4 and 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? We have two options when we're faced with that truth. I just say, God, I'm sorry, and help me to be faithful. Help me to learn from my brother what it means to sacrifice. Or you can do what Cain did in the next verse. Genesis 4 and 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were there in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. We don't necessarily have to literally kill somebody, but we can kill somebody's integrity. We can kill somebody's character. We can kill with our words. That's your choice. You can go to God and say, "God, help me be faithful." And Cain could have had that decision and that choice. After God asked him, "Cain, why are you angry?" Cain responded by going and killing his brother. In Genesis 4 and 9, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "I'm not my brother's keeper." That's the opposite side of faith. We have a choice. I want to return to what faith is in the positive. In Hebrews 11, 32 to 34, I want to read this scripture, and I put it in parentheses because you can insert these words as I did. And it says, I'm not changing the scripture, I'm just putting words there by faith. "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Sephanach, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, by faith administered justice, and by faith gained what was promised, and by faith shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, by faith escaped the edge of the sword. By faith their weakness was turned into strength. By faith who became powerful in the battle. By faith fought foreign armies." By faith we can conquer. And I can add, by faith you can be healed. By faith your marriage can be restored. By faith your son can return home. By faith you can stand up. By faith you can ask God and he will reward your faithfulness. He will bless you with abundance, with a job. By faith. If scripture is true, these people conquered. These people put their enemies to flee. And we have a choice. We can have the faith of Abel, or we can take it and reject it and become Cain. Every time we're faced with that choice, we have those two choices to make. Be Cain or be Abel. I hope that we all choose Abel. But you know what? We can pick and choose our scriptures. And like I said in the beginning, I'm not an expert. I struggle with this. Every day, I struggle. It's our walk in faith and our walk with the Lord is a daily struggle. But let's choose Cain's kind of faith. And Cain's kind of faith requires sacrifice and requires the best that we have. When you got on that plane, you didn't know who built it. You didn't know the pilot. You just knew on the ticket it said Bucharest to LA. And you got on it. In the scripture, God says, "I am faithful." Break that word in half. Faithful. God is full of faith, and that's the God we serve. We have to believe the scripture 100% of the time. The scripture that says, "I will bless you." The same scripture says, "Follow me, but I require sacrifice." It's the same scripture. We have faith that pleases God. The scripture says in Genesis 4:4, "The Lord looks with favor upon Abel and his offering." I want to ask you a last question before I close. Who wants God to look upon you with favor? Amen? Some of you didn't. Do you not want God's favor? I want to ask that question again. Who wants God to look with favor upon them? Okay, is the scripture true? Amen. What did Abel sacrifice? What did God require? What kind of faith? Did he sacrifice his best? And does he sacrifice his first of his flock? I can be truth by standing here. I had not communicated with Frater Legoga on the subject. Now, let me tell you, God wants to use this body of believers, but it requires the faith of our pocket, and the faith of our pocket is our life. God requires our life when he asks of us to give our tithing. I know it's not popular, and please talk to me if you're offended by that. The scripture says, bring your tithing to the house of the Lord so there is plenty to be used. Frater Legoga wouldn't have to stand up here and beg for money. Amen. Thank you, sister. I'm not, you know what? I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not here to condemn or judge. The Holy Spirit will convict you. That's all He will do. He will not condemn you. If you feel convicted, that means the Holy Spirit is talking to you. So let's have the kind of faith that Abel did. Amen? Let's be full of faith and serving God in our tithes, our offering, and our serving. Amen?